My guest at this time is John Bolton, the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. He is now with the American Enterprise Institute. We want to get his thoughts on President Trump's decision to strike Syria in response to Syria's use of chemical weapons against its own people earlier in the week. We also want to get his insights on how Trump may be changing U.S. policy with respect to North Korea, which was a very big issue at the beginning of the week. But given what's happened with Syria and some other issues, it's gotten less attention towards the end of the week. Mr. Ambassador, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
A wide variety of reactions to Trump's decision to hit a key Syrian airbase with nearly 60 Tomahawk cruise missiles, and it doesn't follow along, it seems, the usual political lines. Some see this as the perfect proportional response. Others see it as, or they fear anyway, the beginning of a more long-term trouble in the Middle East. What's your reaction?
Well, I think it is the right response. I think any time you have an authoritarian regime like this that joins a treaty like the Chemical Weapons Convention, says that it will give up these weapons of mass destruction, and then lies about it basically and uses the weapons, that is a direct threat to the national security of the United States. We are fully prepared. We comply with the Chemical Weapons Convention. We don't have stockpiles. We're destroying what we did have. And I think it's important around the world that people know that we're simply not going to tolerate countries entering these treaties and then violating them by using weapons against innocent civilians. So I think it'll have an impact well beyond Syria. I think North Korea and Iran in particular should draw a lesson from this. I think China and Russia should as well. So I don't see it as an inevitable step to greater involvement in the Syria conflict. I think it was a proportionate response, and the ball is now in Russia's court and Syria's court. We'll see what they do next.
What do you think they'll do next, and what's the appropriate U.S. follow-up to this?
Well, I think they're so stunned that Trump acted that given the performance of Obama over the years, saying he would view the movement, even the movement of chemical weapons as a red line and then not enforcing it, that the Syrian regime, the Russians, if they were involved, may have thought they could do it cost-free. And they've now learned a pretty severe lesson. I think that's important. I think for the credibility of the administration, again, not just in the Syria scenario, but across a range of threats that we face from Iran, from North Korea, it's a very important lesson to have taught.
What do you expect Russia to do in response, since they're pretty much joined at the hip with Syria?
Yeah, look, I think we need to look ahead in the Middle East as well as in dealing with Russia. We're going to defeat ISIS. I think it's pretty clear as the Trump administration changes the Obama administration's policy there. We're going to defeat ISIS in hopefully a fairly short period of time, maybe by the end of the year. We need to think ahead to what the Middle East is going to look like post-ISIS, and I certainly hope it does not include a Russian airbase at Latakia in Syria, which the Obama administration allowed them to have. And I think this is a very interesting commentary for all those in Washington who basically argued that Trump was a Manchurian candidate with his strings pulled by Moscow. That's not quite the way this has worked out. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see if that whole narrative changes as well.
So what's the U.S. long-term policy? Of course, it was regime change with Obama, then it wasn't regime change with Obama. With Trump, it seems that this is, he hopes that this is an isolated strike unless Assad uses these sorts of weapons again. What's in our long-term interest there?
Well, I think that it remains to be seen in the post-ISIS environment. That's why whether we're going to accept Assad remaining in power in an enclave or whether there's some other outcome, we need to decide. I don't think you can defeat ISIS, but then turn all of what used to be Syria back over to Assad. That isn't going to work, nor would it work in Iraq with the Kurds functionally being independent. They're not going back into Iraq. And I don't think the Sunnis will either, knowing that they're outnumbered 3-1 by the Shias, who are in turn, at least in the current government in Baghdad, dominated by Iran. So I think you've got two countries, Syria and Iraq, that functionally don't exist anymore. And we need to have an answer once we defeat ISIS, what is going to replace it. I mean, I think basically the configuration of the Middle East as it was set 100 years ago after World War I is disappearing. And we're going to have to work with the Saudis and others in the region to come up with a new configuration, hopefully one that does not benefit the greatest threat to peace and security in the region, and that's Iran and the coalition it leads, which includes Syria.
We're talking with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. And, sir, we'll talk about North Korea in just a moment. But I want to get your thoughts real quickly on one of your successors at the U.N. Nikki Haley's gotten a lot of attention this week for her forceful condemnation of the strikes, showing the pictures, staring down the Russian ambassador to the U.N., saying how many children have to die until Russia cares about this. And then on Friday, when it was requested for a private session of the Security Council, she demanded that it be an open session. What do you make of her handling that role so far?
Well, I think she's doing a great job. It's excellent theater up there, and I think it's very important that we have people who are explaining what the Trump administration policy is. And there are those in the United States who say, well, this isn't what we voted for. That may be their view, but honestly, I think this is a policy that's been very important for the United States, and I think Nikki Haley's been a key part of it.
Let's talk about North Korea now. They've had a number of missile launches in the early days of the Trump administration. They had another one earlier this week that appears to have been largely a failure, but there's certainly been more saber rattling out of North Korea. And the State Department got a lot of attention when Rex Tillerson issued a 23-word statement saying in one sentence what had happened, and his next two sentences were, "We've talked enough about this. There will be no further comment at this time." What do you make of not issuing a formal, more verbal condemnation? And what do you think they have in mind as a new North Korea policy? Because it's pretty clear they've concluded the old ones didn't work.
Well, I think it was more than an amazing coincidence that President Xi Jinping of China was in Mar-a-Lago with President Trump when he decided on the airstrike against Syria, because certainly people have looked at that possibility with respect to North Korea. They're so far advanced toward putting a nuclear device on a intercontinental ballistic missile and hitting targets on the west coast of the United States in the very near future. Some people have estimated that to mean next year. So having focused President Xi's attention, maybe we can get some progress on doing what China says they want, which is to prevent North Korea from getting nuclear weapons. And we're way behind on that. We've wasted a lot of time and obviously failed negotiations. North Koreans make commitments that they routinely violate. So our options are getting down to very limited number. My view has long been that the way to end the North Korean nuclear threat is to end North Korea by reuniting the Korean Peninsula. I hope the president's talking to Xi Jinping about that.
What's the key to getting the Chinese to do the right thing here?
Well, I think if they really have an appreciation that the United States is prepared to use force against North Korea, that may get their attention. But honestly, it's in China's long-term interest to see the two Koreas reunited. They say they don't want North Korea to have a nuclear weapon. They haven't acted effectively to prevent that for 25 years. And at this point now, we're all running out of time. So if that's what their position really is, now's the time to act.
And finally, you talked about this a little bit, but with the Chinese leader in town when Trump orders the strikes on Syria, you mentioned that might get his attention. What do you think the Chinese reaction is to that?
I think they're very surprised as well. I don't think they saw that happening, but I think it's a clear statement to China and everybody else that the Obama era in American foreign policy is over, and there's a president in the White House with a very different worldview. That was my hope for the most important achievement to come out of the Xi Jinping-Donald Trump meetings, and I think that's been accomplished.
Mr. Ambassador, always good to have your insights, sir, especially on a day that I know is very busy for you. Thanks for being here.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
You bet. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.